Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, this is Starscast, also known as Natalie to most people that know about me all the years I've been online. Just call me Natalie, it's a lot easier. Anyways, we've got some people in the chat already tonight. Stars Aeneas is there, I see him, he's already been chatting to me. And I have with me tonight Stars Dragon Spirit and Stars Christina. And also at this time I want to take a moment and mention that we have Mystic Living Today. Our online e-zine is on Kindle. So if you want to do a search for it, just go to Kindle and type in Mystic Living Today and you'll find it. It's this beautiful lady holding this ball of stars and it says bringing you the world. And I've been trying to do that since 1998, I think, when I started my first site. And Stars Christina is my editor. She put it all together, and Stars Dragon Spirit has something in it, and a lot of the other stars that I have on board are in it, and authors, and it's real. I think it really looks beautiful. And Christina, what do we have, about 160 pages?
Yes, about 164, something like that.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And so what can I say, you know. So anyways, I'm going to turn this over to Dragon Spirit here, who we're going to call her Cheyenne, and of course Christina will be Chris. What is the soul? So Cheyenne, go ahead, take it away.
Okay, first I'd like to thank everyone for coming and thank everyone for listening. We always love doing these shows on Monday evenings, and it is interactive, so if anyone would like to call in and participate, if you've had an experience, point of view, doesn't matter. The number is 347-838-9736. Again, 347-838-9736. And our topic tonight is, what is a soul? The interpretations of that vary depending on who you talk to, what part of the world, what civilization, so forth and so on. Everyone has their own interpretation, but everyone believes in a soul. They believe in it so much that certain burial rites vary depending on your belief systems. But yet, everyone believes that a soul will be judged, and some say no, they won't be judged, because that's why karma exists. If you look it up in the dictionary, if you look it up in any new book, I'm not going to say new age, new book for most of the public at large, it'll tell you that it's a spiritual or immortal part of a human being regarded as immortal. To me, the soul means that we are part of the divine. We are all different sparks, little pieces of the whole, of the divine. And that is the way I've looked at it my entire life. As many things that I've read, listened to, studied, it always comes back to that. Spirit is something that is inside of you. It's energy. It is not something that you can destroy. When people get upset and they think they've done bad or they think they've done good or anything, that's your perception, your judgment, that's your mind, your ego. That is not your soul. My belief system, totality for myself, I believe that your soul stays in that divine state. It is untouched. Your divine state stays in perfection. The things that we do on the outside, physically, and so forth and so on, that's a totally different story. That's a totally different thing. That is intellectual, ego, physical things. Your soul is the very depth of you. It is who you truly are. And it's not defined by, let's say, your name or a driver's license or by some piece of paper, you know, it says, well, this person's name and this person's age and so forth. That is not your soul. Your soul is recognized by the universe. It is recognized by the divine. It is recognized by the source, because we're all just little sparks of it. A lot of people, you know, the spirit, in reality, is not outside of the human body. It's within, but yet it's outside a human sense of perception, because it's not something that is tangible to you. It's not something that you can touch. It's not something that you can taste or smell. I'm not going to say see, and there's very obvious reasons why I'm going to say that. But, you know, everybody's heard the age-old saying, if you look deep enough into someone's eyes, that you will see the reflection of their soul. And to me, that's happened very, very often. It does exist, and again, it depends on your belief systems. It depends on the cultures and so forth and so on as to how it's carried out, what your belief in that is. But most people and most cultures will live their lives around that without even being aware of it. Your soul is going to be in perfection. It's a part of the divine. It's going to be like a guiding post. It's going to be, let's see, like a keel on a sailboat. But there and again, you're still not going to be able to touch it. You're not going to be able to taste it. You're not going to be able to do things with it. All those are separate. That's physical, ego, and everything else in between. So with me saying that, I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to Chris now for her interpretation.
Hi. Thank you, Cheyenne. I really enjoyed what you were talking about. I always look at the soul as like, say, there's a big fire and we're all little candles and a piece of that fire lights our candle, but yet we're the same fire. So it's, you know, the soul is all the divine and it's all one. It's what connects us. And people have asked me, well, you know, what is a soul? Of course, I tell them it's the divine. And actually, the word soul comes from the Greek for psyche, which is what we are called, psychics. That's where our names come from, as you know, from the name of the Greek for soul, which meaning, you know, like I was saying, psyche. And there's a legend about it. The goddess of the soul and the mother of all psychics was called Psyche. And it was the original story of Psyche and Eros. Eros was Cupid, the son of Aphrodite. And Aphrodite was just incredibly jealous of Psyche because Psyche was the most beautiful girl in the world at that time, of course. And so she asked Eros to pierce the first guy that she saw that she would fall in love with, that she would, you know, that if he pierced the heart of this, the first man, that she would fall in love with, and she would just marry and move on and get out of her way. So Eros went and to pierce the heart of someone, but he was so struck by Psyche's beauty that he pierced himself and fell madly in love with her. And instead of piercing her, where she would fall madly in love with a guy. Sorry about that. I said the other way around. But anyway, Eros pierced himself, fell madly in love with her, and wanted her. And Psyche wasn't able to fall in love with anyone. And so Aphrodite had Psyche's mother, told Psyche's mother that the only man she'd ever marry would be a beast, a monster. And so Eros became a monster, and they took her up to the mountain. And, you know, that's where the original Beauty and the Beast came from, was that Greek mythology of Psyche falling in love with Eros, or Eros falling in love with Psyche, actually. And he had to be a beast during the day, and he was a beautiful man by night. And she finally found out that he was a beautiful man. And so Aphrodite, they wanted to marry, but Aphrodite was angry, so she had Psyche, and this is where it comes to the psychic part. She had Psyche accomplish these goals, these missions, and the only way she could was to listen to her own soul, to her own intuition. So when we go back to what is the soul, your soul is also what tells you your highest level of thinking. It's your intuitive self. It's that gut feeling. It's that voice that sounds like your voice, but it's really a higher voice, you see. And so in the story of Psyche, she throws her in a task of where she has to pull rice out of ants' you know, ants were mixed with rice, and she had to pull the rice out. She didn't know how she was going to do it, and you know, suddenly she manifested a way for the ants to, not mice, but the ants to just run into a line out the door. So anyway, this whole story is in my book, Ancient Magic for the Modern Witch. I write it way better than I tell it. And Ancient Magic for the Modern Witch is on Amazon. But anyway, as I was saying, as far as the soul goes, it's what you listen to. As Psyche did also, she would listen to the wind and the trees as she went through each task until she could prove herself worthy to marry a god who was Eros. And so, you know, that is where the ancient legend of a soul comes from. And the example was Psyche because she was listening to her soul. She was listening to the inner voice inside of her, which we all do. When people come to speak with experts or psychics, people that have been in meditation and studying for a long time, they can usually, it's like Edgar Cayce once said, you can read for yourself. You really can. It's just that most people don't trust that inner voice inside of them. A lot of them don't trust, and even psychics themselves have a hard time trusting that inner voice and following that path, that road less traveled. So as far as the soul goes, it's also part of what, you know, we all have, which is that sixth sense, that intuition, that peace that God made us realize that we can recognize the universe, it, source energy, if you will, that we recognize source energy as being a higher power or our source, you know. So anyways, what do you think of that, Cheyenne? I hope I wasn't babbling too much.
No. I enjoyed it because I love everything about the gods and goddesses. And I was very glad to hear somebody else bring that up and how, you know, it began with the Greeks and so forth and so on. But in our today's society, everyone, you know, everybody says, okay, let me put it to you this way. It's easier for me to draw pictures than it is necessarily to find the right words to get it out right. If somebody says, okay, does God exist? Everyone says, yes. Well, how do you know God exists? First thing they do is pull out a Bible. And they say, look at all this. There's all this proof that God exists. Okay, and one thing that I used to do in my workshops and lectures and so forth, I would say everybody always throws around the word love and everything. I said, well, if you're going to sit here and use the Bible as proof that God exists, I said, prove to me what love is. And there was a lot of responses. Oh, love is wanting to be with someone. Love is when you care about them and take care of them, or you go out and buy them something. I said, that's not love. That's an action. It's not love, per se. Can you put your finger on love? And it's the same way with the soul. The scientific community has a very difficult time with it because of the simple fact that it is not something they can prove exists because they can't touch it, they can't smell it, they can't taste it. So therefore, to them, the science part and the metaphysics part keep, you know, colliding and so forth and so on. There's a particular religion that has science, you know, a science section of that religion. And just quite often, they pop heads, they bop heads because of the simple fact, the science part is saying, no, this actually exists. And then there's the other half of it that says, no, because it's not in here, it doesn't exist. So again, too many times, you know, we as human beings, we get lost in the thought process, in the intellectual and rational part of things. That, you know, it's kind of like when people say, think outside of the box. Well, get out of the box. Because just because you cannot touch something or taste it or see it or whatever does not mean it doesn't exist. There's a lot of people out there who have had paranormal experiences. And it ranges anywhere from feeling somebody pass them and brush up against them to actually seeing a being walk across the floor or hear someone talking to them. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist just because of the fact that you can't rationalize it. You can't scientifically prove it. And that has made it very difficult, as you were saying, for people such as ourselves, myself, metaphysician. It's always, you know, you're always going against scientists who use synthetic things and so forth and so on. It's kind of the same thing. Metaphysicians and metaphysics itself is always bumping heads with science because of different experiences that we have. Things, you know, I believe in myself that when we are born, you know, you're incarnated again, and you're incarnated with this knowledge and a certain brain wave and a certain pattern. There's some little part of our brains that's open that may not be open on the other side of other people. I used to think that a lot when I was a child. It was like, okay, I'm the one that's different. Everybody else seems to be the same. And I'm the one that's sitting here talking and thinking these things. I mean, literally. When I was 9 years old, and this is no joke, when I was 9 years old, my father took me to a psychiatrist because there were things that I was telling him that was actually taking place, and it scared the man. And him and my mother kept me going to that psychiatrist for almost 1 year. And at the end of the year, the psychiatrist told us that there's absolutely nothing wrong with your daughter. She's just gifted. There's nothing wrong with her. She's gifted. I mean, I would be, you know, 6 years old in the backyard talking away. My mom, you know, she would say all the time, I'd look out the window and you're just talking away and looking at somebody. But, you know, I was fortunate in that manner that my mother, to a certain point, accepted that part of things. But that, to me, that's because somewhere inside, that soul spark that each one of us has sends off different little wavelengths, different sparks through the nadis that we have that runs through our bodies and our brains and everything and says, hey, hello, I'm here. You know, and I'm really, really here. It's not something that you have to doubt. And again, you know, there's been so many, put it this way, if you go way back to Constantine, okay, and when the religion was just taking form, they were so afraid of women and the power and everything about women and creation and everything, that they literally were killing women off. Women are extremely intuitive. Used to be an old saying, you know, that women of the night or the evening existed because men would go to them because the only way they could reach God was in order to have sex with them. And there are some belief systems that are based on that. So if somebody inside, deep inside, is thinking this, is feeling or sensing this, there's got to be something to it. I mean, if women are so intuitive, and the way that their lives and the way they were bringing up their children and the things that they were doing shown other people that it did have power, to the point to where they were trying to kill them off, they had to be in touch with their soul. And the other side must have definitely thought that they had a soul or something that they didn't have, and that's the reason they wanted to kill them off. But again, you know, it varies on the time periods. It varies on your own personal belief systems. Everything that I'm talking about is my own personal belief system, things that I have experienced, things that I have learned and read and studied and listened to, because I listen. I listen inside and I listen outside, because I believe you grow that way. But always, always, I mean, even something as simple as, say, a fishing boat out on the ocean, what is the first thing when you get in distress, when there's a big, big, major problem, what's the first thing you do? SOS. What does it mean? Save our souls. So
that's great.
If there's nothing to it, and it doesn't exist, well, if that's going to be your last dying breath, why are you going to say, save our souls? So, again, that's my opinion and the way that I look at things. And I'm gabbing along, so I'll pass it back to you, Chris.
That's fine. And you were talking a little bit about scientists and space, and how there was a conversation between Deepak Chopra and some science community, and they were telling Deepak Chopra that, for those of you who don't know Deepak Chopra, he is a guru, a spiritual teacher, insightful light worker, if you will. But anyways, they were debating whether God exists or not. And Chopra was telling the scientists about what you said about love, and there's other feelings and emotions and consciousness. Where does consciousness come from? And scientists were telling him, all that is a chemical, electrons in your brain that make you feel love. And then he goes, well, then how does that work, those chemical electrons that make you feel love? Where do those come from? And where does that energy come from? And where does that light come from? And the scientists, it was a back and forth thing. And what was funny is, of course, the scientists had this haughty manner about them. They knew it all. You know, Chopra knew nothing. And yet Chopra was making more sense and showing how God exists. Or the universe, source energy, if you want to call it. I just call it God. So a lot of more appropriate, probably source energy, because the universe was created with the bang, with a thought, if you will. The universe was created with a thought, and out we all came, and we're all pieces of that whole that huge source of power, which is soul, and we're in these bodies as we're spiritual beings, having human experiences, is what we are. We've come to recognize that there even is a God, because how would God exist if there was no consciousness to recognize that there is a God, or to recognize that there is a spiritual power or higher consciousness, if you will, that unites us all. And so with science, I love science shows. I mean, once you get me on there, you know, I really love to. I go binge watching any Star Trek, anything, but I'm a tricky. But I do watch also a lot of documentaries, and one of my favorites is How the Universe Works, and it was created by Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking is probably the number one physicist in the world today. He's in a wheelchair. He has Lou Gehrig's disease, and so he's been in a wheelchair for many, many years. How he survived all this time is amazing. And he created this fabulous documentary about how life could exist on other planets, how the universe started. And the ironic thing, the funny thing about Hawking is that he doesn't believe there is a God. We're all here by accident. You know, it's funny. We're all here by accident. It was just poof, we became, you know, we evolved from these little water things into these walking mammals, into these apes and walking, and on and on, and we got intelligence, and it was all by accident, and nothing outside of that. You know, he explained it beautifully with physics, but he never really explained, and who had that first thought? How did the Big Bang start? How did that start? You know, and then he spoke about other universes, which would make sense. Because if God, you know, the source, this is not it. We have many more universes, many more souls that are recognizing the source energy, who could call it something else other than God. You know, many souls on many planets, it's just on and on and on. And you also mentioned something about reincarnation, which I love. There was, in one of my favorite books, Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh says that, in the book, it said, And God breathed life into man, and he became a soul, you know, and we all became souls. And that we are reincarnated. In other words, God, in the book he says, God recycles souls. That's what he said. God recycles souls. You don't throw a soul away. You just keep going. And there's more universes and more planets, and it's bigger and greater than anybody can even imagine. So this tiny little piece of a flame that we are, this soul that we are, some of us are a little bit more awakened than others. And it's just the way it is. Some of us have evolved in different ways, in different areas, and we have come here for a purpose. You know, usually the purpose is two things: to be extremely joyful as you can be, and everybody's always struggling for that happiness, but to choose that joyfulness. And the second thing is to love everyone, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that's it, to serve, to be of service to others, to love, to be of service to others. That's all we have to do to become an enlightened being. But it's so hard to follow those rules when we're not in a state of enlightenment that we're supposed to be in. And many of us have come to this planet. Cheyenne, you and I have a similar background there. You were talking about your dad take you to a psychiatrist. Now, my dad was totally opposite. I was 9 years old as well. And this happens to a lot of people, particularly, I don't know, what year were you born, Cheyenne? You don't have to say. Were you born in, what decade were you born?
I was born 1961.
Okay, so you and I are about the same age, in the 50s. I'm 58. So 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, these people born in this time frame came a little bit more enlightened, the rainbow children, crystal children, if you will. It was kind of like when the prehistoric times and the world just began, there were no flowers, none. Then there was one, then there was two, then there was a bazillion and trillion and flowers, all varieties, and that's pretty much what happened with awakened people. They started coming, perhaps they were during the time of the Neanderthals or whatever, or Homo erectus or whatever they were, and they recognized through consciousness that there was a higher power, and they saw that maybe through the weather or whatever. But anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this now, but as I was saying, we do have similar background, and a lot of us in these decades were born knowing, born psychic, born knowing. Some of it was squished with society's religions. You know, I've heard a lot of people my age saying, well, I remember I was pretty psychic, and yet my parents, you know, they thought I had the devil in me and whooped me, or my parents made me go to church, made me forget all about that, or, you know, stuff like that. But there's a lot of enlightened ones in these decades, the 50s, 60s, 70s, that have come as light workers, if you will, to wake up the rest of the planet, whether we're doing it. And it's a slow process, believe me, because it's a very slow waking up. We're going into the age of Aquarius. In the age of Pisces was Jesus, you know, fish, the fish and all that. So that was the age of Pisces. And we're leaving that now, entering into the age of enlightenment, of a different era. I was just listening to CNN today about religions and how, you know, only 38% of youth in America now are religious, and the rest are spiritual. So that's got to tell you something. That means these kids, that especially kids in their 20s and 30s, younger people are becoming less and more and more away from the traditional church that our parents, when we were coming up, you know, might have taken us to church. My mother, when I was a kid, 9 years old, and I started seeing things and talking things, my dad was like, oh, my gosh, she's psychic. I mean, my dad was all into it. He was all up on that. He's like, oh, she's psychic, and he brought out all the Edgar Cayce books and started reading them, and then started reading, and I had me read them and started reading about more about psychic abilities. And see, my father was a little psychic too, and so was my mother. You know, it was just our family was just that way. It was, and even though she was Catholic, okay, so there was a lot of mysticism in there, with a lot of magic stuff where it comes to Catholicism in some ways, a lot of miracles, if you will. So My family was very, I was lucky enough to where my family was very open-minded about and encouraging on my gifts and what I had to, what I was supposed to do. And what I have found that I have supposed to do as the soul on this planet is to be a teacher. I teach people. I teach people how to wake up. I teach people about their relationships. I teach people about who they are and how they can reach their greatest potential. And so does everyone else. So do you, Cheyenne. And that's what we're here for as light workers.
Mm-hmm.
And we give advice as well. So it's one soul to another soul when we're talking. We're trying to connect to your soul because we're all connected, as we were talking about earlier. So, you know, and getting back to the scientific stuff, when scientists say, I don't believe in God and all that, what they don't, what I've come to realize is what they don't believe is in that God in the heavens that judge everybody and throws you in the lake of fire if you're no good, and that God with the 666, you know, that's the God they don't believe in. You see, the one that we've been traditionally taught. And as we become more awakened in the planet, more spiritual, if you will, soul is spirit, more spiritual. As we become more spiritual on this planet, we start to think of God in a different way. You know, we start to see, and I don't know if you've experienced that, Cheyenne, but I have definitely seen in my lifetime people becoming a little bit more awake. And there's still some, of course, that are closed-minded and will never be open in this lifetime, and we've come to accept that. But haven't you noticed there's just a whole lot more open people?
Yeah, I would have to say just in the last 20 years, well, really 15 years,
it's been
kind of an explosion. It's definitely been, I'm not trying to cut you off, I'm just agreeing with you, because there's several points that you brought up that we do parallel in.
No, please, go on.
But I agree. In the last 15 years, there are more waking up, but you got to look at the age group, too, and look at whose children they are. As you were saying, that time period when we were born and so forth, I this is another thing that I have really watched out for all of my adult life, have gone through similar childhood experiences. Normally, sometimes very rough childhood experience. I believe that children are born enlightened. And as you said, to me, depending on how many times they've reincarnated, how much knowledge they learned, so forth and so on, when they're born, though, they're born enlightened to a certain point. My father was extremely, very hard on me, difficult, and I was beaten every day of my life with something for some reason. But at the same time, I had my grandmother who was taking me and forcing me to go to church every single Sunday. And, I had to be the perfect little angel. I'd get pinched if I moved and so forth and so on. And they wanted me baptized, and I was baptized. But then you know what happened? Debbie started growing up, and she got to 11 years old and started asking questions that the deacons and the minister couldn't answer. And I physically, this is no joke, ended up getting kicked out of that religion because they could not answer my questions. And I think I've said it before, I'm going to say it one more time, then I'll go on with the other. But my question was, well, you know, if you have to be so righteous during this lifetime and not do any bad and everything else, and you're saying that, you know, once you die, you die. Well, then if you're really dead, how do you know if you go to heaven or if you're burning in hell?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, everybody just, oh no, she's got to go. That was the last question. I'll never forget it. That was the last question I asked, and I was kicked out. I mean, gone.
You're a bad girl.
I was really bad.
I have to interject something, you know, when I was in high school, to get a ride to high school, we had to go to church with my girlfriend's aunt every single morning. Oh, my goodness gracious. I would sit in church, and, you know, I had all the sacraments. I'm Catholic. I had all the sacraments. And I'd sit there, and I'd look around, and I kind of wonder why I was there. It was the strangest feeling. And I didn't really question anything, but, you know, I would think to myself, well, why do you have to go to church if you want to talk to God? Isn't he everywhere? I mean, I can do this at home. I'm torturing myself by kneeling on this marble floor at Easter time on Good Friday. And I was 9, 10, no, I guess I was 7, 8 years old, and I was questioning things, but I kept my mouth shut. I didn't say anything.
The same thing with me. It was kind of like, okay, let's see. We're putting out all this money to build this building, and we're giving you money every single week. Do you really think that God and Jesus' message was about money? And people just stopped, and they would look at me like, well, what are you talking about? This is the way it's done. Well, no, just like you said, Natalie, I can stay at home and talk to God whenever I want to. It can be the middle of the night.
I still kept going to church, though. I kept going on Sunday because my mother wanted me to go, and she had to take First Holy Communion. She had to meet with the father, you know, of the church, the pastor, you could call him. And he didn't want to give me communion because my father was Greek Orthodox, and I was not baptized in the Roman Catholic Church. Well, my mother, and I have to tell you this, my mother sat there, and I was out in the hall, and I heard my mother. Oh, she was awful to this man. I mean, what do you mean you're not going to give her First Holy Communion? She's a little girl. What is this all about? She argued with him. Well, he gave me First Holy Communion, but he didn't like it. And I don't think he liked me from that day forth because of my mother. But, you know, and the Greek Orthodox was, it was just, you know, it was just a different church, and that's how my father was brought up, and that's where I was baptized. Well, that was like the kiss of death, going into a Catholic church. But, you know, I'm listening to the two of you, and I just love what you have to say. Stuff that I have never really, I mean, I've kind of read about it in books, but to hear it is so much better. And Chris telling about everything about what went on, and I just think this is fascinating. I'm going to take this back to you guys and let you keep talking, and I'm going to kind of be still here. And I mean, you talk to me about the church.
I'll
tell you.
You're putting your input in. It's nice. To
and I don't know if I guess I am
change.
A light worker because you were talking about that. I think I did not really develop anything until I got to be probably in my 30s. Is that normal?
I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm sorry, Chris, if you don't mind. I'm going to get up. That time frame that we're talking about, it's very, very true what you said. We are considered, quote, unquote, awakeners and, quote, unquote, teachers. Those two words for that time frame is what this is all about. Waking people up, waking them up to who they are, what exists, ascension, everything. When I was younger, I believed in many galaxies, not just one, many universes, not just one. For myself, my saving grace when I was a child was that my grandfather was Cherokee. And he understood a lot of things that I started doing when I was very, very young. I didn't know what they were. I just knew I had to do them, and I knew how to do them. He knew automatically who I was. So that was my saving grace as a child. But, yes, teachers and awakeners, that time period is what it is about. Now, I have heard, I have studied to some point, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I have heard that once a soul reaches a certain age and does not open, doesn't accept or even let a crack of that light come in, nine times out of ten, it's not going to wake up.
I have to interrupt. I have a caller here that would like to ask you ladies a question. His name is Stephen, if you don't mind. Hold on. Let me connect you. Okay, Stephen, you're live on the air. You have Cheyenne and you have Chris. Go ahead and ask your question.
100% nigga. Nigga. I'm
200%
nigga.
I want to hang that up.
Yeah, we got it. I hung it up.
Really?
That's not what he said when he talked to me, you know, and that's
I'm
a shame
sure.
that people have to come in. But I guess I'm not going to take any callers. So go ahead, ladies. I'm sorry.
And two, I the same as you, Chris. I absolutely adored everything that I can get my hands on about Edgar Cayce.
I know, right?
I have read every single book there has ever been published on Edgar Cayce, unless it's been published, say, within the last 4 years.
Yep, me too.
Everything that I read about this man, it was like a validation. It was like, wow, that's what I've been doing, and that's what that is. And I did the same thing. I mean, the whole nine yards. And by the way, ARE is still existing. As far as I know, his son or grandson is still running it.
Yeah, ARE online. You can find it, and you can for $40 a year, I think you can get into all the 14,000 readings that Edgar Cayce did.
And for those of you who don't know who Edgar Cayce is, he was called the Sleeping Prophet. And he was another who had a difficult childhood. And I know this is going to sound odd. There was one book, the first book that I had read about him, not the first book personally, but on this subject, that he had placed a book under his pillow and slept on it. And when he woke up in the morning, he knew everything that was in that book. Now, I'm sorry, but for somebody to be able to do that, there has got to be a higher being, a higher step, a higher level within that human body to be able to do something like that.
And that's true. If you don't mind, I just wanted to mention one thing before I forget, too, about Jesus was one of those. A light worker to try to wake up people, because at that time the planet was in a state of they knew there was a God but didn't know what to do with it, you know.
Right.
And so Jesus came. And so with Edgar Cayce, there's so many miracle workers, not just Edgar Cayce, but Cayce was my number one. I mean, he's probably the greatest modern prophet of all time.
Yes.
Whereas Nostradamus is number two, perhaps.
Yes.
And we could go down the road of how many enlightened lightworkers, souls, if you hire being. Well, I don't even like to say it higher soul, because we're not. None of us are higher. We are just here for a reason. And let me ask you this, girl, since we're on the phone. Did you ever, when you were a kid, did you ever feel you didn't belong on this planet?
Oh, I cried all the time. I felt like I did not fit in. I didn't fit in no matter where I was. The only time that I had any comfort was when I was in our backyard by myself or with my grandfather. I used to cry because it was like, I don't want to be here. I'm not supposed to be here. And this is no joke. We lived in a two-story house, and then the third upstairs was nothing but an attic. Well, there was one window that led out, you know, to a landing. Every single night, I used to climb out that window onto that landing and look up at the stars, and I would just cry and cry and cry. And my parents, even now it's getting to me, my parents found out I was doing that, so they nailed it shut.
Mm-hmm.
But I never felt like I fit. Like
I was the same way
here.
As a little girl. Yeah.
I
stayed in my room all the time. Isn't that strange? I was an only child, and I have friends across the street, and I just didn't feel like I was like them at all.
Well, it's like
sometimes
you had mentioned crying.
It's painful when you're a little kid like that, though, when it happens,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yes. And if, you know, I'm the type, I break down words. It's like this D-I-S-E-A-S-E. Now, if you do that, it's kind of like you were speaking about Christ's message, Chris. Christ
mm-hmm.
was an ASEAN.
Yes, yes.
So break down the spelling of ASEAN. And, you know, he had his own language, Aramaic. So it's kind of like all these hints, all these teachers have come, and all of this guidance has come. But I definitely agree with you. In the last 15 years, it's been like an explosion of all of a sudden people waking, wanting to wake up. Let me reword that, wanting to wake up, because there's a big difference. You know, there's some people that wake up because it's just time in their inner clock, and then they do it. But now there are people that are starting to believe that it actually exists. It's like when I first became a Reiki master, okay, that was 30 years ago, all right? But, and this was interesting. I'd moved from the state of Florida out to the Four Corners out west, and a year after I had moved, they had passed the law that unless you were an MD or a practicing physician, you could not practice Reiki because they found out that there was substance to it. There was something to it. So they were going to figure out how they could manipulate it and make money in it. But getting back to the soul end of it, I believe that, you know, even as children, we begin those who are enlightened to the point to where they're aware, instead of having to grow into, they're just aware of, they begin showing signs, they begin doing things. If you watch your child, as your child grows, it'll show itself to you. But yes, definitely.
There's a definite conscious awakening happening on the planet right now, and going as far as souls go, there's a great number of souls that 50s, 60s, 70s, as I was saying
yes.
before, from higher planes of existence who have
yes.
chosen to incarnate here to help with this
yes.
great awakening
yes.
of humanity. Jesus was one of those. Remember when he was in the garden and he said, he was scared, Father, take this from me. Why do
mm-hmm.
I have to do this, more or less?
Mm-hmm.
That's how we're doing. That's how we were doing. Oh, I don't belong here. Why do I have to do this?
I agree.
Why
with
am
you
I here? Yeah, why do I have to do this? And now it's true. Right now, at this point in time, there are millions of light workers on the planet right now assisting with
yes.
a very vital yet natural process of consciousness raising and ascension. In the age of Aquarius, we're supposed to take a step up here with our spiritual consciousness, our awareness of who we are and what we are supposed to be doing here.
Right.
You know, it's very possible.
I believe that time period, I'm going to go out of this real quick. So I want you to go back to what you were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Most of us that were born in that time period, we elected, we agreed to come back and do this.
Exactly.
Thank you.
We agreed.
Thank you.
Yeah,
no, we're both. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. We came. We have chosen to incarnate here. So our soul has to help with this planet in this great awakening. So we've all chosen that, and it's very possible that people that are listening out there, that you might be a light worker too, or clients. Our clients are becoming awakened bit by bit. There are no coincidences here. You know.
Correct.
You've been attracted to maybe listening to the show or to us speaking tonight for a reason, so we can become more empowered and to nourish this consciousness. So for those of you listening, you know, you can often, if this is, these are like a sign that you might be here to give a message or to wake up to help people awaken the planet. If you feel like you're misunderstood, that's one. If you feel you have a sense of a higher purpose, I'm supposed to do something. I know you have, and I have, Cheyenne, have had that. Oh, my,
yeah.
I'm here to do something. I'm supposed
I'm
to
supposed
do something.
To.
And for the longest time, we couldn't figure out what that was. And then, you
I
know.
I still don't know exactly.
No, I'm kidding. I do. My job was to gather all the beautiful people like you and bring them in one place. That's
it. That was your purpose.
That's my task. That's my purpose. I believe it. I believe that. I really do because, I mean, I have gifts, but certainly not like the two of you, but I just know and I gather the troops and off we go. And not the bad troops either. These are good ones. These are like all the angels gathering together, gathering all of the light at stars. And it's a wonderful job I have. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And I think you're fabulous. And we all do. You know, another thing as far as the awakening part, if your soul might be giving you a message that you're more empathic, you want to save the planet, you become more of a recycler, you might find yourself drawn to eating more vegetables or vegan and maybe even considering vegetarian only because of the higher level of life. Not that I'm a vegetarian now, but this is a sign that you could be a light worker.
Right.
There's a very little attraction to things that interest other people. Like I don't feel that any of us are attracted to fashion or sports or
nope.
Do we care who wins the game? I mean, those a little more less on the material side of things. We tend to be okay with poverty sometimes, or actually be good with it. Actually, we can be very good with poverty. So you know, and it's only. Yeah,
people
you know,
walk
and it's
in my place.
We know there's more important things.
Yes, you know that is so very, very true, Chris. I mean, everywhere I've ever lived. Now, this is no joke. I would have to say for the last, especially 29 years of my life, people walk into my house and I have water fountains and I have all of these different crystals. I mean, just you have no idea. crystals and everything. And I went 15 years, didn't even have a TV. And people would walk in and just look around and go, somebody like you, you should have so much money. You should have this, and this. And it's like, but I don't need that. That's not what I want. That's not what I want. If I get a big chunk of money, I'm going to go out and see which geode I want to buy. You know, what crystal I want to buy or get or need tool-wise instead of all these other things. But you're very, very right. You know, you don't pay attention to what's in fashion. You don't care. And somebody
right.
says, oh, my gosh, have you seen how she looks? Well, you know what? I have what I need. I'm happy. And that's just the way it is.
And that's how, you know, our souls are, that's the satisfaction of a soul. We have good peace. You probably have animals. If you don't, you did.
Yes.
Or plants. You probably have a green thumb.
Yes.
Love of nature. We have all that. Yeah, I'm not afraid of dying. You're not afraid of dying because we already know. Girl, as soon as we get off this planet, hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
You know? And not that we're depressed here because we love this planet. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, no. I love my plants and I love animals and everything else I had in my whole life.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not religious anymore. And that's another point is regarding the religious thing with the kids. I've noticed a lot of kids are asking a lot of questions now. It's not like before where you just shut up and don't ask any questions. Now the kids are allowed to ask questions. And this is also helping to awaken their own souls. And they're also here for the next quantum leap forward in our evolution
exactly.
of the planet.
Exactly.
And so, but what we do, we're about to be phased out one day. I mean, as far as our type of light worker part, if you will, doing readings and all that, to a higher level of teaching. Not teaching cards or crystals or any of that, but teaching how to maintain peace, how to let go of material world, how to deal with grief, how to deal with different things that we deal with in our lives. And we are the counselors, if you will.
Yes.
And before we close up, I'll tell real quick as far as counsel go. I remember this one lady, she said, I have spent hundreds of dollars on a psychologist, you know, a psychiatrist, and I'm sick of it. I want to get a reading. So I gave her a reading and all that. And she says, well, I can't wait to tell my friends. And I said, oh, do you tell your friends you go see a psychiatrist? Oh, no. But they'll love to hear about a psychic. So the point of the story is... for the spiritual incentive, the spiritual insight, Because mm-hmm. the psychiatrist mm-hmm. says, well, how do you feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'd say, well, this is what's going on with you right now, dear, you see.
Well,
so anyway, that's go ahead and close it up, dear.
my final line, and then I'm going to give it to Natalie, but my final line is, from the day that I began dealing with the public, and this is no joke, I was 12 years old for the public, 9 years old with my family, but from the day that I began doing this until this very day, when I am working with someone, I let them know. I work with you, I help teach you, but it is my job as a teacher to make sure that you surpass me. And that is what I let everybody know. And with that, I'll go ahead and give it back to you, Natalie.
Okay, and don't they say that you're only as good as your teacher, and when the student is ready, the teacher will appear?
When you're ready, the teacher will come to you, will appear sometime.
That's right. The teacher will appear. That's right. I mean, that's a saying that I've heard many years, but I'm listening to the two of you, and I'm recognizing the fact that why I really felt more comfortable being a home alone, I'd turn my music on, and I would just think. I was okay in school, even this weekend I went with my girlfriend and I watched her and I was thinking, I'm just not like you. At a point it made me a little sad. And then I thought, no, wait a minute. No, don't be sad. I mean, you are not like her, and she knows it. But she's a very giving lady, very kind to me. But I saw the difference this weekend, and I recognize how material some people are, and they're very giving, but how they're still not like I am. As I get older and older, and I see more and more, and of course I encounter so many people, I think that's the beauty of it all, and it's a wonderful thing. And you two did a magnificent job tonight, right up to the 8 o'clock mark here. And, of course, before we close out, I want to thank everybody in the room for coming. We have Stars Aeneas. We have our Stars Lilith is there, and we have Dream Master and Guest 2657 and Wise Owl. And it's been beautiful, as always. I don't know what our topic will be next week, but you can bet it's going to be wonderful. And do go and check out Mystic Living Today on Kindle. Just go to Kindle on Amazon. I believe that's how you do it, right, Chris? And type in Mystic Living Today, and you'll find it. It's a beautiful cover, lady holding a ball, what looks like a ball of stars, and it's just bringing you the world. And that's the caption that I asked Chris to put, and she showed me all these pictures. And it's doing very well, and I'm really pleased with it all, the beautiful work there, and such talent. And I am privy to be able to contact all these beautiful people one-on-one, and how lucky am I? You know, it's a wonderful thing. Thank you, ladies, so much for coming tonight and doing such a magnificent job. Oh, yes, I loved it. I love you guys very much, and I love everybody in the chat room. Oh, Lilith just said, great show. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It was.
I hope everybody did enjoy it.
Yes, I did too. Thank
did
you, ladies, and we'll see you both next week. Have a
love
good evening,
you.
Everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.